Thank you, Pat. Always being there on the drums. We love you, brother. Appreciate you being here. And Jennifer and Ryan and Peter for leading us in worship. I'm not sure about that mushroom thing. But we're all right. Daniel chapter 10 this evening. Daniel chapter 10. You may want to hook me up on the sound a little bit. Daniel chapter 10 is quite unusual. Daniel chapter 10 would be a good chapter to go through right around the time of Halloween. You see some of the spiritual things behind the scenes with Daniel chapter 10. Reminds me of the old word processing spreadsheet that was called WordPerfect. And back in the old days, if you wanted to see what you were doing, you could hit a button called Reveal Codes, and you would see all kinds of stuff that's actually behind your document, showing you that you've hit Enter and Reset and Spacebar and stuff. And what we look at here in Daniel chapter 10 is a little bit like Reveal Codes. We get to see what's happening behind the scenes. And often we have talked about, and I was talking about it with my brother this morning, of what would it look like here on Sunday morning or Tuesday morning as we pray with the spiritual things behind the scenes if they became visible to us. Because truly, we know that spiritual elements exist beyond our visible. And that's what we're going to take a look at tonight. Let's pray and then we'll open up the bread of life tonight. Father, we thank you that we can come into your house this evening and to open up this great book that we have in front of us. Father, we come with many different emotions tonight, many different thoughts in our minds. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to set aside the cares and the things of this world, Lord, and to focus on your word, to enjoy the presence of the fellowship of this body of believers, and also to enjoy your presence, Lord. We ask you to be with us. Father, we confess that we lack wisdom, but you say in your word that if we ask of you for that wisdom, that you would give it to us generously without finding fault. And Lord, we need you tonight. We need you to be our teacher. Lord, would you lead us in your word tonight? Teach us and show us. Show us even, Lord, our own inadequacies. Show us how to be humble before you. Teach us how to pray, Lord, effectively, the way that Daniel does. Lord, help us to learn from your word this evening. I pray for all that are here tonight, Lord. For those who have heavy hearts, I pray that you'd comfort and be with them tonight. And for those who have joyful hearts, let us rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Let us be glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening with your people and with you, Lord. We love you. We know that you are in control of all things and that you have a plan and that you have set your eyes on us. And that you love your people and have called us out according to your purposes. Lord, we love you for that. We thank you that you first loved us and died on the cross for us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bless this time this evening, Lord, in your word with your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 10. A little bit easier to understand than last week. Last week, Daniel chapter 9 is quite difficult to understand, especially in some portions. We'll enjoy the verses that we have, the 21 verses that are in front of us this evening. Daniel begins in the year of 535 BC. This is not the first kingdom, which Daniel was a part of, but this is the second kingdom. This is the Medes and the Persians who were in the world leaders at that time. And he says here in verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed, obviously by God, to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. Remember, Daniel was his original Hebrew name, which means God, my judge. Change to Belteshazzar, which means Bel saved the king, which Bel was the Babylonian god. And so that was part of the brainwashing that we talked about in the first chapter. The message that came to Daniel was true. And all messages that come from God are true. That is the characteristic of divine prophecy. That is the characteristics of the Word of God, that it is always true. Deuteronomy 18 teaches us that you can know that a prophet is of God because 100% of what he says will come to pass. Because God's messages are true. God's Word is true. He says, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, once again, attesting to the authorship of Daniel, Daniel says, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Mourning in the sense that he was denying himself. Like we think of fasting. And it explains this fast that was taking place 3 full weeks. During those 3 full weeks, he says in verse 3, I ate no pleasant or desirable food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He denied himself for the sake of seeking God. Not that his afflicting himself would build up any merit with God, but that he would be able to seek out God wholeheartedly as he set his face toward God. He says, now in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris River, and so now we know where this is taking place. Anybody want to guess as to where this is taking place if we transformed it into a modern day country? Iraq. This is taking place in what we know as Iraq. And he says, I was by the great river Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Let me go ahead and introduce a thought at this point, that there's a good chance that what Daniel has before him is what we call a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. A theophany would be an appearance of God, possibly God the Father. But the reason why I would say that is because this description in verse 5 and verse 6 parallels quite nicely with what we have in Revelation chapter 1. And if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 1, and we'll see if some of this doesn't match up. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 12 through 17. Now make sure when you call it Revelation or the book of Revelation that you don't say Revelations. That's not it. And you often hear people saying that. And I would be embarrassed if somebody from Richland Creek went out there and they were saying, I was studying Revelations or the book of Revelations. And they might look at you and say, well, who in the world is your pastor that you have called, mispronounced that book? It is actually the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's called the book of Revelation or Revelation. And so we're going to take a look at verses 12 through 16 of chapter 1. See if that parallels. It says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire, fire being symbolic of judgment. His feet were like fine brass or bronze, as if refined in a furnace. And we know bronze speaks Levitically or symbolically in the Old Testament of that of judgment. So fire and brass combined here, speaking to his judgment. And his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And that we know he was speaking of Jesus. And so back to verses 5 and 6, as we read that again, you'll notice the parallels. He says, and I'll read it again, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed with linen, whose waist was girded with gold. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color,
and the sound of His words like the voice of a multitude. So I would suggest to you tonight that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I make that suggestion, I'm going to have to tell you later in just a few more verses that when there's another person being spoken of, that that's not Jesus Christ. And you'll see what I mean when I get to that. So it's possible that this is the Lord. Although, I wouldn't die on that hill, but I believe it is. Let's read on and we'll put some of that together in just a little bit. He says in verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." Hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord. And we see that also in the book of Revelation. In the end times when Jesus comes to judge, that those will climb into the caves and ask the rocks to fall on them as they try to hide themselves from the judging God, and as did these men here. But Daniel stood, and he says in verse 8, "Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength." And that seems to be the typical response of somebody who has an encounter with the Lord. How many of you remember in Isaiah chapter 6? Turn over there, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had an encounter with the Lord. And his response was quite the same, that he was undone. He says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And we sang that song this past weekend. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah said he was undone. And we have other accounts of that also in Scripture, just as Daniel said here in verse 8, that no strength remained in him, that he was undone. And he says, though, in verse 9, "Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." Now, suddenly, in verse 10, let me suggest to you that this now is an angel that has been sent to him. This is not the same person as spoken of in verses 5 and 6. This is another angel, a different person. This is not Christ. "Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved." And we talked last week about the beloved disciple John, who received the revelation. And now we see Daniel receiving great revelation. And you can really view chapter 10 as a spiritual preparation for the revelation he's going to receive that we'll cover next week in chapter 11. Chapter 11 gives to us some great and tremendous insights concerning the last days of Gentile history, the ebb and flow of civil governments found in chapter 11, and then how his people fit into that in the final chapter of the book of Daniel in chapter 12. And so chapter 10 is this spiritual preparation that Daniel is going through in order to receive that revelation. And he is the man greatly beloved. And he was told to understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Now see, that's one of my arguments for saying that this is no longer the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly the Lord's not in view. The Lord, because he says here, "I was sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling." And here's my main reason. My main reason in verse 13 is why I would say that this is not the Lord. He said in verse 12, "Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and
to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.
If there is one verse in Daniel chapter 10 that I want you to underline and to mark down, it's this. We learn a lot even from this verse. Notice how Daniel prayed, that he set his heart to understand. And that is part of that preparation, that we set our hearts to understand. It carries with it the idea that we're setting away the distractions and the things of this world. God, I am putting myself in a quiet place and a quiet time before you to set my heart, the heart speaking of all of who I am. I'm setting my heart to understand you, O Lord, your word.
Daniel set his heart to understand. Notice what else he did, to humble himself before his God.
And in a day where there is so much pride within God's people, in his church, Daniel humbled himself before his God. You know, oftentimes we think of, boy, if somebody came into the church and they had alcohol on their breath, boy, they would just say, boy, you got that sinner, what's he doing? Sin, get him out of here. And I'm not saying that that wouldn't be a sin. But people stroll into church every Sunday thinking more highly of themselves than they ought. And God is more offended by pride. Says that's one of the things he hates in the Proverbs, a haughty spirit. And so as Christians, we need to make sure that we remain teachable and humble, putting ourselves below other people. Pride is a terrible thing in a church. That's the one thing that seems to creep into a person's life. All of us are affected by that. When we pray and when we live our Christian lives, that we would humble ourselves before our God. And so he says that he set his heart to understand and to humble himself before God. He said at the moment that, from the first day that he did that, he said, your words were heard. Do you know when you pray to God with the right heart, and your heart is set right, and you humble yourself before God, the God of this universe hears you. Reminds me of the story I heard about a CEO that told his secretary, I'm not taking any calls. I've got a very busy day. Under no circumstances should you distract me. And then she buzzed him 5 minutes later and says, your son's out here. And he says, send him in. God's always available for us. We are his children. There's no busy phone. God's available 24/7 to listen to you. As you humble yourself before your God, he will listen to you. He hears your cries and he wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. Part of that communication involves us listening and not just talking. Being still before our God, humbling ourselves before our God. And our words will be heard. Notice what else he says. I have come. Why? An angel was there to minister and to reveal something to Daniel. Why? Because of your words. Because you prayed, the heavens were sent in motion. As a result, a direct result of your prayers. God has ordained to move and to work through the prayers of his people. He set it up that way. Don't ask me why. I don't know why he set it up that way. But your prayers are heard and your prayers count. If you hear anything of what I say tonight, notice right here, your prayers are heard and your prayers count. You have not because you ask not. If you ask believing according to his will be done unto you. Notice what happened, though, in that time that the angel was being sent in response to Daniel's prayer. He says in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and this is a bad angel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In other words, as soon as you prayed, I was sent, but I was detained by this evil angel. You see, there are angels and there are demons. Demons typically are defined as fallen angels, and angels are those typically defined as those who have not fallen, who serve God. but sometimes they are mentioned as princes of the kingdom of Persia. This is not a person in view. This is a demon in view that has some type of authority over the kingdom of Persia. What was the kingdom that was ruling and reigning at the time that Daniel wrote this? Persia. And interestingly enough, as he concludes this particular chapter, he's going to say, after I'm done, I'm about to take off to return to fight. And after I fight for a little while, the prince of Greece will come. Well, what was the kingdom that came after Persia? Greece. And so these angels are positioning themselves and waging war, even as the men looked on Tuesday morning at Ephesians 6:12, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual element, the principalities that we do not see. And the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Can you imagine that? An angel detaining another angel? And so Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael the archangel, every time he shows up, he's defending God's people, fighting on behalf of Israel. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And so when Michael showed up, he had more strength, and he was able to free this angel that had been held captive. He says, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people. And who are those people? Israel, the Jewish people. What will happen to your people in the latter days? Primarily, that is speaking of what period of time? The tribulation. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. It could be argued that this is another angel. Some may say that this is the Lord again. I would say not. Explain that as we go through the text here. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips, and then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? Now, just because he's saying Lord isn't saying that he's calling him Lord. That also can be translated as master or one who seems to have authority, but not necessarily referring to the Lord. He says, as for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Verse 18, then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And this is a command based on what he had done for him. Be strong. And God tells us today, be strong. Just as he says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come, as we talked about just a little while ago. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me, and this is my primary reason for saying that this person in view here is, again, not the Lord, because of this statement. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. The Lord does not need to be strengthened. The Lord does not need to be upheld by Michael, your prince. Again, what we have in view here is an angel that is upheld by Michael, your prince. And he says your prince because Michael, again, is the one who is seen defending Israel, the Jewish people. Okay, having said that, we kind of got through that. I'm going to turn it over to some Q&A time, and then we will begin a prayer. Does anybody have any thoughts as they went through Daniel chapter 10? Does anybody see that as just one being? And that, here's how you'd have to do that. You'd have to say, okay, maybe the Lord in verses 5 and 6 all the way down to the end at 9, and then it could be another angel, possibly two angels in view there. Or you could just say it's one angel all the way through, but you can't say it's the Lord Jesus Christ all the way through for reasons that we discussed. Does anybody have any questions? One of the first questions I ask when I go home is I ask Emily, I say, was it clear? Try to be as clear as possible. So, Peter.
Daniel's concern, is that coming up in chapter 11? Is that the fact that he's fasting?
Yeah, he was fasting and seeking God. And what he's going to find out is the revelation that he's receiving here to understand is what's revealed to us in Daniel chapter 11. And it is quite detailed. It is a strong detail of Gentile history. Definitely want to read through that in advance because it's impossible to cover in a 30-minute time period. We'll go through and hit the nuts and bolts and zone in on a few major points. But it's very difficult to get through in that 35-minute or 30-minute time period. Daniel chapter 10 would be viewed as a spiritual preparation for the revelation he's going to receive in chapter 11 and 12.
Just an observation. I find it amazing that the angel explains this to him in 21 days and all. I mean, at work, I work for just mere men, and they don't tell me why they're late. They don't tell me why they have me do certain things. Go do it. I just find it amazing.
Yeah. I think it is amazing why the Holy Spirit chose to give us the details behind the scenes here. And I think that the Holy Spirit chose to put this in the Scripture so that we would know a little bit more further behind Ephesians 6:12 about the battle that we truly face. And I keep going back to what my brother Joe said. Hey, if you want to win the spiritual battle, you don't do it by fighting against flesh and blood. See, that's the human response to be, man, I am so mad at that person over there. Well, you're responding in the flesh against flesh. God says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual elements that are behind the scenes. And if you want to do battle, then you do battle on your knees the way Daniel did, in prayer. Side note, speaking of prayer, 59 guys on Tuesday morning, beautiful scene. And praise the Lord. And y'all have to give David Nodine a hard time. He got here, but he got here late and felt like he didn't want to come in, so he got in the parking lot at 6:30. I said, you should have come in. We'd have had 60 degrees in the furnace, but we'll go over 100 degrees in the furnace this fall. Man, when God's men are praying, and then we put the chairs together and pray over the chairs that the ladies will be there on Thursday morning, praying for our ladies and praying for our children and families. Just a sweet time. Awesome for the guys. And I encourage you guys, if you haven't been, come on Tuesday morning for prayer. I know some of you got to work, so I don't want to belabor that. I know if you have to work, you got to work. You got to take care of the children, those type things. So, but if you can, I'm really appealing to those people who are hugging the pillow at that time, which is very easy to do. It was tough to get up this particular Tuesday. I want to. I'll take a couple more questions, but I had a thought before I do that with Kelly and Rick. There are some things going on behind the scenes. I had three guys on Tuesday morning, and then my friend this morning was just saying that be praying for our children because they've been having some nightmares in the middle of the night. It seemed like we had that happen Monday night, and not surprised, but we will be praying for our children. Kelly, do you have a question? Yeah. The question is, obviously the scripture here mentions the princes of the powers of Persia and then of Greece. Would there be one over the United States, and do they have different areas? Obviously we're going beyond directly what scripture says, but I think it would be very fair to say, in my opinion, I would say absolutely. They have a rank, Satan being the head of that, and they have a rank and regions and powers and strategy for defiling and deceiving the nations and people. We know that the Bible says that Satan roams the earth. He is a literal finite creature that roams the earth seeking who he can devour. That word devour means to literally to drink down and to bring to ruin. And, you know, if you're not prepared for that battle, if you're not understanding these spiritual things, even as it says in Ephesians 6 that Satan is throwing fiery darts at you. Well, if you just stroll around and you're not prepared for that, you're getting taken apart. So we need to understand these things from Scripture, especially these spiritual things behind the scenes. Rick, did you have a thought? I don't have a good answer, but I bet you'll bring it back for us next week. The question was, in verse 5, it says, with gold of Uphaz. Do I have an answer for that? Oh, okay. What is the question? Michael the archangel is one of the most powerful angels of God, and he is one of the three angels that are mentioned in Scripture by name. Does anybody know the other two? Gabriel and Lucifer. Lucifer being an archangel that fell, became Satan, or is Satan. Yeah, the observation that Cindy's making is that it's interesting that Daniel alone was permitted the opportunity for this Christophany and this vision, and that's because of the spiritual preparation, how he'd set his heart to understand, and he sought the Lord, and he humbled himself before God. God reveals things like that to those who truly seek him. I'll take one more question, then we're going to break off in prayer. Anybody have another thought, observation, or question? I'm going to point out this board up here is the for the prayer vigil. And the prayer vigil is going to be from Friday noon until Saturday noon. And just to bring some clarity to this board, you can have as many as 100 people signed up per slot. So just because somebody signed up in that slot, don't feel like you can't sign up also. You can have multiple people signed up per half-hour time slot. Another question that came up was, well, can we pray at home? Well, you always can pray at home. But the idea is that we come and pray here. That prayer room, which is that room back there, there's a little gold plate that says, that will be headquarters for prayer, the prayer room. It will spill out into the sanctuary. And Lord willing, if there's enough people for at that particular time slot, to do prayer walks around the rooms, the children's rooms, the chairs here in the sanctuary, the pulpit, and just around the youth rooms and the Sunday school classes. But it is here, primarily in the prayer room, with extra people will come in here and then also do prayer walks. It begins Friday noon to Saturday noon. If you signed up for a half-hour time slot, please be here at least a few minutes early and plan on staying just a couple minutes late to make sure that somebody's here at all times. All right. Miss Nancy, you got a question? Yeah, perhaps we'll just leave those doors open and people can be praying in there. And you can join them in prayer so that you don't have to wait like it's a bathroom for someone to come out before you go in. We'll just leave the doors open. Yeah, we'll leave the doors open. And if they're in there praying, you can begin praying. We'll put some chairs out here in the corner as well. So that's a great question. Any other thoughts? About the prayer, questions about the prayer vigil. Information about this is on the website. Ryan's doing an awesome job. The website is being updated almost on a daily basis. If you haven't been to the website lately, check out www.richlandcreek.com. It is really nice. Let me mention something else to you. We want to be praying for the hurricane victims, what's going on in Florida. The opportunities that people are having to share the gospel. There's a link that Pastor Scott wrote an article on the website about where is God in a hurricane. Encourage you about that. Beyond that, Brother Vaughn Benner, who goes here, is putting together a team of people that are going to go down there. If you're interested in that, there's information on, there's about some sheets of paper back on that table. You can grab it on your way out and contact Vaughn for some of the details. And he just wanted me to announce that and have this available in the back. Brother John? The greeter table right back there. Greeter table in the foyer. Thank you for that clarification. And his contact information is on there and what he's planning on doing and when is on there as well. Next Wednesday night, speaking of next Wednesday, it's going to be different. The kids are going to be in here because Awana, sign up is tonight, but Awana is going to be in here. So this is going to move into the fellowship hall just on the other side of this wall. We have family dinner night beginning. Family dinners next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 is the dinner. You're not going to find a better dinner for a better price. You can, the most that they will accept, right, George, is $10. You can bring your whole family and feed them for $10. It's $2 for children and $3 for adults. And that includes dinner and a beverage, hang out with the family, a fellowship dinner. It's awesome. And then at 6:30, we begin to break into our groups. The children are going to be in here doing Awana, and we'll remain in that room to do Bible study as we continue Daniel chapter 11. Let's break up in groups of... Does anybody, as we pass these out, have any urgent prayer requests that they'd like to share or to be praying for? We're going to break up in groups of 2 to 3 folks. Children will be with us as we pray. Does anybody have any prayer requests urgent that they want to lift up? Okay, they're passing out the prayer slips from this past Sunday. Make sure you pray for those as well as the needs of the people who are in your group as well. Pray for our children and our young people as they begin to go back to school, the anxiety that goes along with that. Pray for many in the congregation who are still seeking employment, the struggle and trials that accompany that process as well. And pray for our prayer times and our prayer vigil. And having said that, let's break off into groups and begin praying. This prayer vigil board will be out in the foyer on the gold round table in the middle.